Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Let's do the podcast again. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast, to be precise. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and welcome to this, the latest UK Tech Weekly Podcast, where we gently pipe the latest chat on tech topics into your ears every Friday like wind on a desert island breeze. Let us take you away from the freezing clutches of a UK February to a 40-minute sunny, sandy audio getaway brought to you by the editors of PC Advisor, Tech World, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. We're heading to an unknown tropical audio location with pina coladas and audio dolphins until we eventually decide how best to communicate our desperate pleas for help and draw lots on who's getting eaten first. I'm Charlotte G, editor of Techworld, and today I'm delighted to be joined in conversation by the male version of Wendy Hurrell. It's Henry Burrell, senior staff writer for PC Advisor.
Hello.
Release the dry ice. It's David Price, acting editor of Macworld UK.
Hello. I didn't think you were going to sing.
Yeah, no, I did do a bit of singing. He's neither scary nor hairy. It's Scott Carey, online editor of Computer World UK.
It's always fun being last, isn't it?
Yeah. This week, we're talking about Snapchat's IPO, Android Wear, and Apple's decision to start making iPhones in India. Let the games begin. Snap Inc. is having an IPO. Not the ones who sang Rhythm is a Dancer, but the US company behind Snapchat, platform of choice for young people who like sending themselves pictures of each other looking like dogs or with massive eyes. No, me neither. Scott, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, so Snap Inc., parent company of Snapchat, filing for an IPO. So they want to float on the public stock market and raise a load of cash. It's notable for quite a few reasons, mainly because there really hasn't been a big name tech IPO probably since Facebook.
When was
2012?
Okay,
which made me feel really old when I read that because that didn't feel that long ago.
Yeah,
but they made like 100 billion, didn't they?
They wow. made
That's many billions.
Yeah, 100. No, how much was it? Yeah, it was a lot.
Informed tech.
It was six. It was 16 billion. Dollars they raised,
right.
Okay. Which to put that in context, in 2016 there were 21 tech IPOs in total, and they totally raised $3 billion.
Right. Mm. Okay. So it's been a dry spell.
Yeah, it's been really rough. And 2017
rough for the billionaires.
Yeah. Rough for the tech sector. But the thing is that the markets are actually doing as well as they've ever done, but tech just doesn't seem to be sort of pulling its weight. And I think people got spooked in 2014 when there were a load of, I think like 80% of the companies that floated in 2014 have now gone bust.
Wow.
So there's a lot of, people just don't really want to invest in tech as much since then. So with Snapchat, the nice thing about it is that once a company like Snapchat, who basically have been really quiet and secretive about their user numbers, how much money they bring in, how everything works behind the scenes. Once you file for an IPO, you can find out all those sort of juicy details. So there was a third co-founder. So Eben Spiegel, who's 26, is the current CEO. He set it up when he was at Stanford University with two of his frat bros. And the guy that came up with the name and the logo and basically the whole idea of disappearing messages got sort of rode out. He got... I can't remember the guy from Facebook that got rode out, but they did
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, yes, they did. Him. They did that to him.
Yeah.
And now that they've filed for IPO, we found out that they paid him off $156 million in 2015 to basically make sure that he doesn't come back to bite them when they float publicly.
What else was there in the? What else have we uncovered about Snapchat?
There were 42 pages. So whenever you file for an IPO, you have to put risk factors, which is basically anything that like investors should be aware of. So things that you think might hinder your ability to be successful in the future. Facebook had 13 pages of risk factors when they floated. Mm-hmm. Snapchat has 43.
Right.
How many of those pages are dick pics?
Yeah.
Big risk.
Yeah, big risk. One of the risks brilliantly said, we may never achieve or maintain profitability.
Right.
Which I would think is a concern.
They were at a massive loss last
year,
right?
So they are currently losing $111 million a year.
Wow. But presumably the fact they're doing an IPO means they're going to start trying to monetize.
Yeah.
This is going to be the moment they ruin the experience and just start putting adverts and everything.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, a lot of their money already comes in from advertising. They, interestingly, the first line of the IPO says that Snapchat is a camera company. And there's a lot of sort of rumors around that, thinking that maybe they're going to keep shifting into hardware. They did Snapchat Spectacles last year, and there seems to be a suggestion that they might actually start developing some hardware as well, which is seriously risky. I mean, Apple's probably the only tech company that's successfully done software and hardware.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good at it. So it'll be interesting to see how they sort of try and diversify where they bring their money in. But, you know, Facebook only brings in advertising and they're doing pretty okay.
Yeah.
The thing with the Snapchat IPO is you can kind of boil it down to, is it going to be Twitter or is it going to be Facebook?
Yeah.
And in amongst those risk factors, there was one where it says they basically admitted that Snapchat's not very easy to use for the casual user.
Using Snapchat makes me feel like a very fusty old man.
Yes, me too.
Mm. Nothing is
well, not
properly
nothing
marked.
Makes me feel old.
No. Like, you're just sort of like swiping between pages.
I'm like swiping that way and like I see my own face. Yeah. And then I'm like, no, I don't want to take a picture of that. And then I swipe right and it's like Kim Kardashian in XX whatever. And like, it's just, it's weird. I don't understand it at all.
It's not fun for casual users. And people say the same thing about Twitter. Like Twitter, when you like join, it's like, where do I even start with this thing?
Yeah, but it's used by, I think it's used by the group that do use it a lot.
Snapchat.
And really love it. Yeah, yeah. Snapchat.
Yes. And also the people that do use it are the people that advertisers like.
Yes.
It's young, affluent kids.
Yeah.
In that sort of ABC One demo. Mm-hmm. We were saying the other day, though, the worry is that if that demographic do get bored of it and age out of it, can they keep sort of growing their user base? Like you see with Twitter, where their user base is just completely plateaued, and that's really hindered their ability to sort of make money.
Yeah. When Facebook started out, that was a thing for young people, wasn't it?
For universities.
And it aged up, and people got the hang of it.
Yeah.
There must be a route for Snapchat to do that.
I mean, they will definitely hope so. I'm not sure I see it.
Particularly in a digital, like, for want of a better word, ecosystem where people are trying to find loads of ways to save their photos. I think at some point all the Snapchat users will be like, oh, wait a minute, if someone sends me a picture of them like at the top of the Empire State Building, maybe I actually want to keep that. Maybe they want to keep that. Like, I don't know. When people Snapchat me, I'm like, well, that was a really nice photo that I can never look at again. This is a very, very really... old man view of this, I know.
It is kind of slightly baffling. I originally thought that it was essentially just people sending each other rudy nudie pictures. But actually,
it's mainly that, isn't it?
There is that. But it seems that they're just like filtering their faces to look totes
hilarious. Yeah.
But who wants to keep that?
I know. I think it's just something that unless you are of the generation that picked it up, you probably aren't going to get it. It probably just seems a bit weird to you. I think we're a little bit too old. Basically.
I think we're just too old.
But they do focus, don't they? And what we're talking about now is feature creep. If we're saying, well, why don't they introduce a mode where you save things?
Yeah.
They start off with a really sort of laser-type focus of this is what we do. We have this weird disposable thing that old people don't understand. and I sort of hope they don't.
Is it really disposable, though? I mean, do they keep the photos themselves? Do we know this?
It seems to be a PR thing they've managed pretty tightly.
Yeah,
I mean, on Snapchat servers, do those photos
they probably
still
do exist?
It was in the risk factors. Was like, they basically Snapchat admitted that they are terrified of the media, and Spiegel doesn't do much press.
Yes.
no one really from Snapchat has much press, and they admitted that basically if some privacy concerns or some criticism of their features or anything like that comes out in the press, and that can seriously damage them, and they're quite sort of attuned to that risk. They seem pretty attuned to a lot of risks. They also pointed out that their competitors can quite easily copy them. Instagram famously already have. Instagram did stories maybe 6 months ago, maybe a little bit longer ago. And they basically just ripped off Snapchat stories, and to pretty good success. I actually gave up using Snapchat at that point because that was one of my favorite features, but I use Instagram more and more. My friends are on Instagram.
I think conversely, well, for me anyway, from my own use, I don't really do much. I'm a bit of a lurker on social media, but I'm using Instagram more and more now because it's the one place where Donald Trump can't get.
Even
on Snapchat now, you go right and there's a whole stupid little Snapchat story about Donald Trump next to the one about...
Is Donald Trump not on Instagram?
He is.
But I mean, no,
I'm
but
not
I mean,
following
as in,
him
as in,
on Instagram.
Compared to
I don't follow him on Twitter, but I still see all
no,
that.
He,
that's what
I mean. He gets put into your timeline, even if you want
but
him
you don't
to
get
be,
that in Instagram.
Compared to Facebook and Twitter, where he,
you'd have to follow
his
him.
Mere existence like is proliferating that platform.
Yeah.
You go on Instagram, it's still just like avocados and dogs.
Yeah, it's
pretty great. It's a nice little escape.
I read this nice article about somebody who, who's been blocked by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So he never sees any of Donald Trump's tweets, he described this sort of black hole, a vortex around each tweet that occurs. Yeah. He sees the ripples going out of people going, that was a stupid thing to say. And he tries to sort of reassemble it.
Yeah.
You don't get that on Instagram.
That sounds
I'm not
stressful.
On Instagram.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess in summary, I mean, Scott, how do you think the IPO is going to go?
Yeah, isn't it estimated at $25 billion? Raised. I saw that figure floated around.
That's valuation.
Okay,
it can be a little bit tricky to sort of pass all the figures, but like they're looking to raise $3 billion, which is still a lot. I mean, that is still the cumulative amount of tech IPO raises last year amongst 21 companies. So it would be a blockbuster IPO if they pulled that off.
When will it be?
They haven't set a date. I mean, it's going to be in the next sort of few weeks.
It's
fairly
imminent.
I mean, once you've filed, it's going to be fairly soon.
Yeah.
And the other thing that people are concerned about is the fact they're not issuing non-voting stock, which means that basically no one that buys stock has any sort of voting rights. So the founders still maintain like 100% control, which is not great for investors, again, because you're kind of at their whim. So there's a lot of red flags. I think the only thing playing in their favour is that there is a lot of thirst for sort of tech investment. There hasn't been a big IPO like this for a long time. So there's sort of pent up demand, and they're kind of going to be able to take advantage of that.
I love that idea. Just I want to invest in something. What? Anything. Just something.
It makes no sense to me, but it apparently is a thing.
That's a thing.
And like, do you see the New York Stock Exchange is on Snapchat now? They have like a huge banner outside being like, Addison Snapchat.
Yeah. Well, they've only done that because...
What?
So, okay, let's go round. Ooh Snap or No Snap? Henry.
What?
Ooh Snap or No Snap?
Oh, No Snap for me.
No Snap.
Which one is positive?
The ooh snap.
Ooh snap.
New snap.
Okay.
Does that mean we shouldn't invest?
Okay.
I don't think so. You would
because I brought a barrel of gold coins.
You would not. You would not get me investing in Snapchat.
Okay. on to the next thing. Google is watching you, but it's also selling us watches, specifically its latest foray.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Into the wrist action department. Android Wear 2.0, which has been unveiled this week. Can you tell us all about it, Wendy? Sorry, I mean Henry.
Are you implying I'm a wrist action expert?
Yes, well, apparently so. I mean, that's what everyone... That's the reputation you have in the office.
Horrible. I'm a bit torn about this.
Tell us what this is.
It's important for tech, but I don't think it's actually that big a deal. But anyway...
Listen on, listener.
Google and LG combined have made a bit of a splash this week about smartwatches again.
Oh.
So, sorry, Scott. But bear with me here. So, like, here's the news, and here's why I think perhaps it's just a bit of a PR effort. So, Google is kind of, I think, personally, playing catch up here to what Apple and Samsung are doing in what even David might admit is a slightly tired space.
Yeah,
so
that lucrative wearables market. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to be playing catch up there.
No. All right, Snapchat. So, like, three years ago or so, Google released its first smartwatch OS called Android Wear. It was a little bit clunky and not as David will be pleased to hear, fully formed as a watch OS for Apple Watch. It's taken them 3 years to update it. Mm-hmm. And since then, as we are implying by our cynicism, smartwatches have become slightly less interesting. They mainly do the same thing that they did 3 years ago, which is tell you you've missed a meeting and like record your fitness levels, basically, yeah. To varying degrees of
accuracy. And you can change your music. See when someone's phoning, reply to WhatsApps, just saying.
Charlotte loves Pebble.
They are fantastic.
Yeah, sorry, I love my Pebble. Yeah.
Bear with me for a sec. So they've just updated it, and it's kind of to align Google's bigger thing. They've just announced recently, fairly recently, the Google Pixel phones. Mm. And as a side note to that, they basically just didn't make enough of them. There's such a big demand for them in the US, they're just permanently out of stock. It's not happening in the UK, but in the US, it's just nuts. No one can get hold of one.
Is that catchy advert they've got with that tune?
That is a good advert, actually.
Yeah, that's why.
I haven't seen this advert.
If you go to the cinema, you'll see it. Anyway.
Never go out.
They don't advertise on iPad games, so I don't see them.
No, exactly.
Ooh, that's two burns.
That's a sick burn. At the same time as announcing on the 8th of February, Android Wear 2.0, which basically just brings small iterative updates to their watch interface, as a cleaner interface, new menus. They brought their Google Assistant, which is the thing where you just say, OK, Google, to your phone, like they have on the Google Pixel. Bringing it to that platform, and it now has third-party compatibility for apps for iPhone, so you can use it an Android Wear device if you have an iPhone as well. And then LG is kind of half in partnership with them, has announced two new watches, mm-hmm. Which is where things get a little bit samey and tired. It's two watches. One's called the Watch Sport, one's called the Watch Style, one's £349, one's £249.
Wow.
So yeah, the reason the Watch Sport is £349 is because it has GPS and LTE as standard. So the advantage there, which is, I wouldn't call it the holy grail for smartwatch makers, but an advantage for the consumer is that if you go out, say, on a run, you don't have to take your phone with you. You can stream music to Bluetooth headphones from your watch from the cloud.
That is actually, that would be handy.
Lots of people have been trying to do it. And for Charlotte's beloved Pebble, were going to do it before they crashed and burned. They didn't release the Pebble Core, which was going to be a device that did that on the cheap.
I'm so sad. So sad.
Smartwatches generally do have LTE, but again, regionally, only in the States. Samsung's don't do LTE over here. Also, because we call it 4G, so it's all very confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If I can wangle one, I'll use one. But yeah,
how does that work on data?
Because that's another thing I'm not entirely sure about.
How are they calculating usage, do you mean?
You're not on a console.
So the way that the Samsung ones work is you have a tiny little SIM in them. And then, again, I'm going to fail at this hurdle.
Even smaller than a nano SIM?
I think so. But then at this point, I don't actually know. I don't know if that links back to your own plan. I know that the, unfortunately, never got made Pebble Core. The idea of that was that
Stop
it... Sorry. The idea of that was it was like three... free 3G.
Yes.
Much like with the 3G Kindles, Amazon just puts the capability in there and doesn't actually charge you for the data. But if you're streaming music,
yeah,
I'm sure
cool
they're going to...
for Kindle, but if you're streaming...
That's what I mean, So I'm not entirely sure how it works.
Has adoption of smartwatches generally been as expected?
I think so. I think the plateau was always
lower than expected.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, why do you think
all the early adopters went mad for it.
Yeah.
And then we all had them.
Yeah.
And then there was no second wave.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for that. Okay.
That's the thing. That's why I'm slightly suspicious of the relevance of this announcement.
Mm.
It's a massive PR push for it. And it's made a lot of noise in the tech sector, at least.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, in the tech sector, I'm going to look at that and see all the specs and be like, oh, cool, they can do this, it can do that.
Mm.
But really, $350 for the average consumer. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Who's dominating the smartwatch market, would you say?
Apple would have you believe it's them, and I think they do have decent sales. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
They don't
announce their own Apple Watch sales, so that's the annoying thing. Mm. They fold them in within one of their smaller other categories.
The forecasts are like several million per quarter are sold.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a good product. But I think the big limitation of smartwatches will always be that even with an LTE one, you do have to have your phone because by all reports, this LG Watch Sport, which is the flagship one, and by the way, they're not actually announced yet for the UK, so this is still a US launch, which makes it even more annoying for us and less relevant for us. but the battery doesn't even last a day. So
oh, wow.
What's the point?
That's insane. My battery lasts for a week.
Yeah, no, Pebble's really good for that because of the e-ink display. But when you have like a little LCD and you've got 50%. GPS to track where you are, you've got LTE, and it's all running on a tiny battery that you want in or something on your wrist.
It lasts a week, but what do you do when you want to update it? So
I know.
Six software, but...
I don't know. Yeah, I know. Ooh, yeah, ow. I don't know. I find it a bit frustrating that that they seem to be the main ones that have cracked that.
Yeah, but I mean, reports also this week that's kind of flown under the radar. They used to be a big player, Jawbone. They were up there with Fitbit in the early days of fitness trackers. Supposedly, they're going to fold their entire hardware business. So I don't know, but for all the times that we come on this pod and we say, oh, I'm annoyed about these, I'm annoyed about that, we talk about wearables quite a lot. And I think everyone at least I am still waiting for something to just like completely blow me away.
I don't know what I'm going to get instead of the Pebble, and that's what I'm still waiting to find out.
Yeah,
Apple Series
2.
No, because I'm not bought into the Apple. I can't go with Apple because I'm not bought into the ecosystem.
Have you not got an iPhone?
Nope.
No.
Get an iPhone.
Okay, so you know,
I've not got
I'll just
the Mac.
I'll set aside the grand, also it's going to set me back to do both of these things, and then I'll get back to you.
Well, so the best thing about this announcement, I reckon, is that people with existing Android Wear watches will probably be able to get the update for free.
Okay.
Which is the best thing about software
it's
updates?
Just the best thing about software. Yeah. That's why I love software.
Love software updates.
Bloody love that. Love it.
This is going to be weird.
Okay, so let's go around the room. Android Wear 2.0 or Android Wear 2.0? What would you say? what would you say, Henry?
Very classic. I'm going to, from what I've just said, I'm going to have to say 2.0.
Oh, no.
What?
I was just saying 2.0. I was very skeptical about the whole thing.
Wow.
Wait, what about you, David?
2.0? I'm very excited about the LTE thing. Okay. That is my holy grail for the Apple Watch 3.
Okay.
Because they basically perfected the Apple Watch 1. All that was wrong with that, they perfected on the Apple Watch 2, except now it needs to go iPhone 3.
Yeah,
so it needs to have LTE. But
the battery thing.
Two days on the Apple Watch Series 2. It's
not with LTE,
solid.
Though. That's what I mean.
Well, that's true.
I do like that. You're basically like, I like it, but I only like it because it's going to set a benchmark for the Apple Watch that I will buy.
Yes, basically.
Well, that's not exactly.
Sorry, you ruined it, Charlotte. So
that's all right. Scott, what about you?
2.0.
Okay. I think, I don't know. I'm going to go with 2.0 just to balance things out.
That's terrible.
Should we have a break?
Yeah, let's have a break. Apple, everyone's favourite pricey metal rectangle manufacturer, has announced it's set to make some of its wares in India, defying threats from the angry orange one. But why, David Price?
It hasn't actually announced them. I have to stress. It's sort of unofficial at this point. A local IT minister in India blunderingly tweeted about it and then had to delete his tweet. He said, and his name is, please forgive me pronouncing this
Bold, David, bold.
Go on.
His name is Priyank Karja.
I saw this written down on your sheet, and I've been looking forward to it for the last like half hour.
Well, he's the IT minister for Karnataka.
One of the states.
Karnataka.
One of the states Karnataka. Within India.
It's a southwestern state, which the capital is Bangalore, which I looked up.
Okay. I've heard of that. Yeah.
I mean, obviously it's Bangalore because that's the biggest tech hub in India, yes. I think. But he says that they're going to start manufacturing iPhones in Karnataka in the near future, but then he had to delete it. But there has been a lot of clues about Apple shifting to India in the near future. Tim Cook had a long visit in India recently. He announced an office in Hyderabad where they are going to have thousands, it's going to be huge, thousands of people all working on maps.
Why?
And maybe making it accurate, possibly.
Okay.
Yeah. A developer accelerator, which sounds like something out of the TV show.
Sounds like you're firing developers at screaming into the heart of the sun.
And they have, and while I said that the actual start, that's a really scary image.
Yeah, I know, it is actually. Yeah.
While I said it hasn't been officially announced, they have said that they're in discussions with the Indian regulators.
the Indian people.
Not all billion of them.
Has Cook got like long links with India going back? I think he's been on state visits and things like that where...
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you know more about than me, but yes, he has said...
Not difficult, necessarily.
There's an interesting... I'm getting multiple burns. I need to go to the burns unit. there's this quote where he said that they were planning a 1,000-year relationship with India.
Wow.
Yeah, that's weird.
That is very weird.
It's a little bit nuts.
It's a bit creepy.
Are they going to freeze Tim Cook?
Yeah.
It's like giving Alan Pardew a 9-year contract. Is my football joke.
Yeah. That was a very good football joke. I enjoyed that football joke and fully understood it.
1,000 years sounds like something that Napoleon or Hitler might have said.
Yes, exactly.
It's weird. Or Julius Caesar, any of those types.
Yeah. But as you alluded to, this is not going to please Donald Trump.
No.
Which is not necessarily...
I think it does.
No. Well, can you... Yeah. Before we go on to that, though, where are the different bits of iPhones made currently?
They are...
So what's the difference here?
It's an extremely complex supply chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are designed in California, mm-hmm. but they are assembled in various parts of China, usually.
Yes.
Taiwan,
I think Foxconn...
Some people would say China and some would not.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have these enormous and sort of dystopian factories where they assemble them under possibly not ideal conditions.
Yeah.
And then they ship them back to, usually through about three other countries for tax reasons.
Right.
And they're going to, it looks like they're going to extend it to India, which will have all the same...
conditions.
let's be honest, they're still not going to pay them as much money as they would if it was in California.
Yes. Well, that's probably why they're doing it.
And they have all the tech skills. Tim Cook has claimed that the reason they don't do it in America is not just because of the money, it's because they don't have the skills there. Because they have this long history now in China of assembling all these products. And it's not, another thing I should stress, it's not just Apple. It's that these Pegatron and Foxconn, all the rest of them, they build stuff for everybody.
It's such a complicated issue, and I find it really hard to think and talk about just because there's so much we obviously don't know about how supply chains work. And Tim Cook's like a supply chain genius.
That's his background.
Probably the only reason that Donald Trump is getting so angry at Apple as such a successful company is because of all the outsourcing he's done to other countries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's such a long chain of repercussions by just saying, just make them in America. Mm. It just doesn't work like that.
It's literally like a toddler telling you, well, Daddy, why don't you spend the money on my toys?
Yeah.
And you're like, well, there's so many things you have to consider.
Yeah. Why do you think India is particularly being talked about?
It's a very important up-and-coming market for one thing, and it clearly has the skills, has the tech hubs. It sort of just makes sense that it's sort of an untapped resource. I don't think they can sell iPhones directly in India at the moment. They're sort of jumping through a lot of hoops.
I wonder whether there might have been a deal done with the Indian government to ease regulation on Apple for them employing people there.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on at the moment.
Yep.
They're trying to get them to cut the regulations on sort of import duties. And
so this might be part of a sort of sweetheart deal.
Absolutely, it's a huge political thing. Right. It's just like in Ireland where basically you don't want to admit it.
Yeah,
having Apple come over and employ several thousand people,
mm-hmm.
and obviously bring prestige to your company, your country, and encourage other people to invest, it's more than worth abandoning many of your regulations and laws and principles.
Probably,
And I think that's to some extent what's going to happen in India.
Yeah.
There's this one rule that our production editor just told me before I came out, which is that in India, if you're a foreign-owned company, you have to source at least 30% of the materials that you use for your activities there within India.
Right.
Which could be quite significant for Apple because they have, a spotty track record, environmentally speaking, of where they source.
Wasn't one of the reasons they actually stopped making the iPod Classic is they just couldn't source the components anymore as well.
Is it because they completely strip-mined India, Indonesia dry of tin?
Potentially, yeah.
Left it a smoking ruin.
Okay.
I think the developer thing is interesting as well, that it looks like they're just trying to tap into a huge talent pool there. India's got a very strong sort of track record of producing developers, I think, because of the education system.
Mm-hmm.
So computer programming is taught from like a younger age. And if they're not going to be able to bring developers into the US, they might as well have like centres dotted around the world.
Well, yeah, exactly. What they would have done in the past is they would have cherry-picked the developers and flown them in and given them visas and stuff. That's not going to
be. They can't get visas, then they might as well do it remotely.
I mean, I think that Trump, what was he say? He's used these kind of special talent visas, but his stance is that they're bad. Very bad.
Very bad. They're
sad.
The worst.
Sad and bad. And they make him mad.
politically speaking, India must be a more appealing option.
I mean, to be honest, I think that I'm trying to think of somewhere that isn't a more appealing prospect, aside from maybe North Korea.
Than
the US at the moment.
Oh, is it?
Because, Well, I mean, you run the risk of being, you know, singled out for not opening the door for him at the right time or whatever.
Or refusing to stock his daughter's product.
Yeah, exactly, that kind of thing.
It's just weird that Trump himself is picking on companies like Apple and he's sort of talking about, you know, not outsourcing production of goods in the States because it will want to benefit the workers. But then I think if you just like close borders to Mexico and particularly with car manufacturing in the past, had a lot of trouble in the States by they've tried sort of certain sanctions on trade have just made it actually in the end more expensive for the American consumer to even buy a car.
Yeah.
Because they can't compete on price when they're all made in Japan and shipped over. So if you want an American made car, probably can't actually make it in America.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's always the trade-off. If you're particularly worried about outsourcing and immigration, the price you'll pay is that things will be more expensive and your economy won't grow as quickly, I suppose. But anyway,
it's kind of working though. Like, he is applying this pressure, and Apple aren't playing ball, but Intel announced this week that they're going to open a $7 billion plant in Arizona.
Yeah.
And they probably wouldn't have done that before.
One of many loads of companies have done that kind of basically rode back from plans to move to Mexico or I think Ford did that as well recently.
But the Intel, I think is it the Intel CEO that's one of the remaining people on Trump's business board? Is it
right?
Is it Rometty?
They must be. Yeah, it's just kind of like him and like IBM.
Bloody Elon Musk
and
as well.
Intel. Has Elon Musk? Is he still there?
He's still there.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw some great. There were some great pictures of him at like a drinks reception with Donald Trump and Steve Bannon the other day, and Gizmodo did a piece where they like zoomed in on his face, and he just looks like someone that has like sold his soul.
Yeah.
And he's got like a 1,000-yard stare.
Yeah. From now on, we thanks to our colleague Tamlin pointing out, have to call him Steve Bannon. That's just how it's going to go from now on.
That's brilliant.
Although, does it make him seem nice? Anyway,
he's not good. He's not good bacteria.
He's not a great. Great lad.
There's somebody saying that him being portrayed as the devil on Saturday Night Live was actually a positive portrayal.
Oh, right.
Because Donald Trump likes that and hasn't complained about it. But no, but he thinks it makes him look effective.
Yes, because the devil, he gets things done.
Well, he does, but he got really upset by Spicer being portrayed as a woman by a woman. And that was what upset him.
Right.
Steve Bannon being literally
so the
devil
is better to be the devil than a woman. Okay.
Well, but I mean, this is only like 3 weeks into the presidency. How do you guys think tech will be in 4 years' time?
Yeah.
Will it affect much?
Well, I would ask just one thing. Sorry to cut you off there.
No.
But how have Apple, what has been the kind of relationship so far? I know that there was some campaign anger towards them regarding the San Bernardino,
San Bernardino.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, basically, Trump has been consistently anti-Apple. Except that when he says, oh, yes, Tim Cook called me up, and basically he's going to do what I say.
Did he?
Where, in fact, it doesn't really sound like that. It, it sounds like he bellowed at Tim Cook a little bit, and then Tim Cook said something like, I understand, or something. Or like, I recognise that's what you
sounds
want.
Sounds like it's his therapist. How does that make you feel, Donald?
Yeah, exactly.
He said the other day, I was a good student. I understand. Probably better than anyone.
Right, anyone.
And that tends to be how Trump...
Why is he incapable of saying things in anything other than a completely superlative manner?
Yeah.
It can't just be good, it has to be the best.
He speaks in totalities.
Mad. But yes, tech,
you made me think of something else. The New York Times brought something full circle about Apple the other day that I was reading, and it was sort of saying, partly he is picking on Apple, but he wants to outsource... Sorry, he doesn't want them outsourcing production, but he's only picking on them because they're probably one of the most successful... in his eyes, American companies ever.
Yeah. And then they're the most valuable.
Yeah, exactly. And then it tied it in with the immigration ban, which he's trying to enforce. And of course, Steve Jobs' father, the Syrian immigrant. It's all like a beautiful melange.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, but as soon as you bring that up, then somebody will go, oh, well, actually, he was adopted and the Syrian dad abandoned him. And it's because of the American parents who adopted him that he became great.
I would say that of... all the big tech companies, Apple are playing ball the least, which has been quite fun to see. I do think that on the flip side, that's probably because they don't rely on government contracts as much as someone like Microsoft or IBM or Intel does.
Amazon have just signed a government deal in the US. Apparently.
Which is why, Amazon are one of the only companies not to sign the illegal order against the immigration ban.
Interesting.
Yeah, funny that. It's funny how they only react when it doesn't affect their wallets.
Yes, basically, yes. I mean, it has been a bit of an unedifying kind of spectacle looking at how tech has dealt with Donald Trump.
Everybody has jumped in line. It's not just tech.
Everybody
complained about it when he was
complaining. But it's, with tech, it's especially galling because they like to think of themselves as being so fantastically moral.
They're like bastions.
And open-minded and liberal that it's kind of...
It came out that Microsoft kicked in like $250,000 for Trump's inauguration party, and Facebook set up like Instagram booths and stuff. So there's a lot of mixed messages.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's funny because it's almost like they don't know that we know.
I know.
It's like
it's more like they don't care that we know.
Yeah, I know. I think that's probably.
Yeah, I think
probably
they
true.
Care. They care a bit more than they would like to admit.
Is anyone going to defend Donald Trump here on this one?
Well, the only thing, as I was saying earlier, the only thing I am going to say is that like he has managed to basically force someone like Intel to bring in 1,000 extra jobs. Yeah. So that's probably a win for the Trump administration.
Are you sure that's down to him, though?
Probably not.
Because he has a history of, like, with the car manufacturers, they were all going to do that stuff already.
Yeah.
Claim credit for
it. It's like the third week. There's no way that like Intel have made a decision in 3 weeks to build a new plant in Arizona. Yeah. But he'll definitely put his name to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Apple, to be fair, Apple would like to manufacture their stuff in America.
Why would they want to do that?
Because it makes them more appealing to the American consumer, which is still their primary market.
Yeah.
And I think it would make them no less appealing to people around the world. No. And they trade on their reputation more than any of these other companies, which is possibly why they feel able to stand up.
Well, didn't
Donald
the old, was it the first iPhone, that, or maybe still, but on the box it always said made in California? Like front and centre.
Yeah, it says design in California.
That used to be a thing, like a selling point in the kind of 80s under Reagan, like made in America. Yeah. It used to be a big selling point. So maybe that will happen again.
And the Mac Pro is made in America.
Yeah, so people start
seeing. Born in the USA.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see that.
And this is also why I thought they changed the names of their Mac operating systems. Because they used to be named after kinds of cat.
Yeah.
And they changed it to places in America.
Lovely.
So I thought they wanted to say we're an American company.
I think they're nicer.
Team
actually.
USA. So I haven't written a special rhyming funny thing now. So just how do we feel about this? Yes, good that they're going to
Trump
India.
Or
do
bump.
We care? Trump. Trump.
It's nothing to do with Trump.
Yeah,
it isn't anything to do with Trump. I mean, does anyone actually?
I'm trying to think of any phrases involving India or Bangalore.
India. Indina.
Indina.
Bang for your buck or Bangalore?
Bangalore or Bangasnore?
There you go.
I'm not. Yeah. Okay. Bangalore or Bangasnore. There
Bangalore.
Bangalore.
Bangasnore.
Oh. Yeah. Bangalore, because I don't really understand.
Why don't you like India?
Bangasnore. It's, you know, just, yeah. This is.
It's,
the problem.
It's not that interesting, is it?
Okay. Fantastic. Thanks for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly podcast, listener. Do get in touch to let us know your thoughts and opinions by tweeting at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud and all the other finest purveyors of podcasts. We'll be back next week with more informed opinion, or not, on the hottest tech topics of the week. Until then, say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.